the weather outside is frightful.
Right?
Good morning, everybody.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas. We're playing some nice little music for you. Christmas music.
And what happened to my buddy Al?
That's all right. Trevor, can you make that a little louder? And I brought some corn for
popping. The lights are turned way down low.
Isn't it nice to hear those regular songs that we hear all the time on every radio station? Isn't that fun? Gee, just realize this is a religious station. Oh, we forgot the name of the show. What is this show?
Live from WGBB 1240, Long Island's oldest radio station. It's time for
Listen Up, Jesus is on the air. Oh, boy, do we have fun.
Merry Christmas,
Merry
Dr.
Christmas.
Palmer.
Merry Christmas, Marita.
Marita.
We Merry have Marita Christmas. Doherty with us today. All you, are you getting confused listening at home? If you think you're confused, you should see us. Listen, we have a show today that is going to blow your socks off. And I assume you're wearing socks, aren't you, Tony?
I have them on today.
Oh, good. That's nice. He wears them, Marita, every other day.
The wear socks.
White.
Not today. Not when I come here. No way. No socks.
The reason why we're playing the music that we're playing, today's Christmas Eve. And it's so nice to have all these wonderful weather outside is frightful songs on. You know? A lot of people believe that's Christmas. A lot of people say, you know, Christmas is here. I can hear Father Charles and Lori singing beautiful songs. Isn't that great? You know, what do you think? Do they really know what Christmas is all about?
Does who know what Christmas is all about?
All those who love just wonderful, wonderful, non-Christian Christmas songs.
Well, that's one of the situations. Christmas is all about Jesus.
About love. It's about love.
And isn't Jesus about love?
Yes, he is.
So and you got it, Palmer.
Yeah, it's the gift of love. You know, we have Marita Doherty, who is our guest today on the show. And Marita has had a very difficult year. And we're going to let her tell you her story. And I think maybe you'll see how the theme of the show is Jesus, God the Father, Holy Spirit, they are love. And they cut across religions and cultures at Christmas and every day of the year. Marita, why don't you just say hello to the folks and tell them what happened to you this year?
Hi, everybody. Merry, blessed, wonderful Christmas. A year ago, I had pneumonia. I think I still have it. But I really felt that that would be okay in December and it would pass by. December, January, February. And finally, they got into more x-rays, and something showed up. And the pulmonary people out in Long Island said to me, you have 7 months to live. Well,
wow.
Here I am. It's a year later. Thank God. Thanks for the prayers that everybody absolutely indulged me with. I was drowned in prayers. But after that 7 months to live thing, I said, no way, Lord. And I went into New York to the most wonderful Jewish hospital, Mount Sinai.
Good.
And had wonderful doctors. And they decided they found a great big tumor on my right side, and now I almost have no lung left at all. But that's okay, too. I'm breathing in and out. I'm breathing the Lord. I'm breathing out love. But in there, I had the most incredible experience of love. Love of God in those people. From the little black girls at night who brought you a cold glass of water to the Haitians who live in that neighborhood of Mount Sinai. And three things that came up that all came out of prayer. I didn't have a surgeon. And I didn't get good vibes about the names, not because of who they were, just vibes. So I prayed to my father, who's in heaven, who was a thoracic surgeon. And I said, now listen, Dad, I have a great pulmonologist, I have a great internist, I need a good surgeon. And lo and behold, my daughter came up with a friend whose father was chief of something big. So he went down the hall and he said, I'll get her somebody big. Well, when I say big, this young surgeon is big. He's 6 feet plus, 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 and he is the love of everybody's life. Actually, he was at Sloan Kettering, and they brought him up from Sloan Kettering to Mount Sinai, and he did the most extraordinary surgery on me. But let me tell you how we got him. I prayed to Dad, and I said to myself, he'll send me the right one. And I met this man. He came into the examining room, and he sat on that little silly stool, you know, that they swing around, and he held my hand. He never let it go. And he said, I'm going to put a hole in here with a camera. I said, what? And we're going to put another hole in with another camera. But I said to him, you know, Dr. Flores, I've been praying for you. And he said to me, I was an altar boy, and I wanted to be a priest. Now, folks, I have news for you. My father, a thoracic surgeon, wanted to be a priest. Do you think that was a little bit of up heaven bringing this man? He is a dear. He operated on me. The surgery went very, very well. And he went to China at that time, and he took this surgery, this particular procedure that he had invented at Sloan Kettering, he took it to Shanghai, and he operated in front of 1,000 people in a big arena. And I saw him after, and he said to me, you're going to live to be 100. So there was a beautiful story. And one night, I was down in X-ray. They were always looking for this pneumonia. I was down in X-ray, and it was dark, and it was 1 a.m, but they had to keep watching this lung. And this man came out of the shadows. And I looked up, and he said to me, can I pray with you? And I said, I would love it. He said, are you afraid? I said, no, I'm not afraid. I'm cold, and I'm shaking, and I'm lonely. He held my hand. I don't know who he was. He stayed for a long time until they took me into the X-ray department. And he held my hand, and the cold went away, and the warmth came over me. I could not believe how I felt. Peaceful, warm, wonderful. So that was the beginning of a wonderful stay of 11 days in there where I got nothing but love. The attendants, whoever was helping me, we'd pray together. And I came out of there thinking, as at Christmas time as it is today, we are one. Those people were God's people. I don't know what religion. They were all sorts of religions. There were Jewish, there were Haitians, there were all sorts of Baptists and other denominations, all full of the same love of the same God that we have.
There's no way that you can contain the love of God. It goes past the boundaries of religions. It goes past the boundaries of color. It goes past the boundaries of sex. It goes past the boundaries of culture. It goes past the boundary of socioeconomic status. I have a friend of mine who's dealing with people in Haiti after they had that terrible earthquake. And people are still afraid to go back into the buildings. And they just say the only thing that keeps them going is the love that they feel inside of themselves. And that's God. Now, Tony, you had surgery for the same thing, because I was listening to the two of you. I felt I was in a hospital ward, the two of you talking before the show. Yeah. Tell us a little bit of what happened to you.
Almost the same situation. I had gotten pneumonia. I went to the doctor. They took x-rays. They said it's pneumonia, and they gave me medication. Come back in 2 weeks. I went back in 2 weeks. They said the pneumonia's gone. And so I said, oh, great, thanks, yeah, all right, and I left. And so they sent the x-rays to a radiologist, and I got a telephone call 2 weeks later saying that the radiologist sees some spots on your lung and you have to come in immediately. And so I did, and the result was that I had to go to a lung pulmonary doctor to see what the story was. And those spots turned out to be lung cancer.
Yeah.
And on both lungs. And So I went to a local hospital here. I spoke to the surgeon. He was very nice. And on Joan's insistence, I went to Sloan Kettering.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor, Sloan Kettering, checked it. And he confirmed it was lung cancer. He wasn't sure. There were two spots. He wasn't sure if they were both cancer, but it was cancer and that they had to get operated on right away. And so he did. And actually, I gave it. I put, John, you prayed over me before the operation, you may recall, and I gave it all up to Jesus, and I put it in Jesus' hands, and I said, Jesus, it's your and your Father's will, not mine, but if you can, please let it be okay, and also, one more thing, I need a speedy recovery, and you know I don't like pain. and I kept praying that, and I gave it all up to Jesus,
yeah.
And I felt confident, and I got the operation, and he took two lobes out, he took a whole lobe on one lung and a half a lobe on the other lung out.
Half a lobe is better than none.
None, and they were both cancer.
Yeah,
and but it was a stage one, and it was caught in time. And there was no chemotherapy or no radiation or anything like that to be gotten.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing he wanted me to come back every 3 months for CAT scans,
mm-hmm.
and which I did, and for 2 years. And it was just the second year this July. And he said to me, everything looks good. You don't have to come back if you don't want. I says, nope, I'll come back. I'll come back every year. And I will. And he says, praise Jesus. Praise
Jesus.
He says,
yes.
There's very little likelihood that it'll come back.
Yeah.
And so that's my story. And my wife has almost a similar story, which was 10 times worse because they told her I got very, very bad news when they called.
Mm-hmm.
And it wound up being, at the end, very, very good news.
Right,
and again,
right.
We just put it into the hands of Jesus.
And the prayers, Tony.
And the prayers are so powerful. I can't talk enough about prayers.
I can't either. When I came out of the hospital and came home, I was so touched. I was so dissolved in tears with the love that people had sent. It's when you're really down and out. And the prayers that I got, I finally wrote a letter. Because I didn't want to, I couldn't write individual letters like brownies. We were overcome with brownies. But seriously, the food and the flowers and the compassion and the everything that they did and my family, my children. Oh, dear God, my children, they came through. They were absolutely wonderful. I have 6 children, and I don't know what I would have done without them. Those girls were there all the time. Madly in love with the surgeon, by the way, Cutie Pie, who I have to give you this little story. He comes out of the operating room with his green cap, but when he makes rounds and comes around to you, he pulls his little curls out of the green cap. He is a love. He sits on the end of your bed and holds your hand. But that experience, from far from being awful, it wasn't. It was so uplifting, so full of love, so full of God, so full of friends. When I came home, I wrote a letter, and I told them the story of the man appearing in the x-ray department in the dark, holding my hand and praying. And everybody has a different theory. John says, that was Jesus. Well, I don't know who it was, and I don't want to say, but it said what we're saying today. God is love. At Christmas, he's always with us. In that dark basement, he was there. In that representation of that man, whoever he was. So I came out of it knowing better, and I love the healing ministry, knowing better how to pray.
Oh, absolutely.
Knowing what it's like to go into 4 hours of surgery, knowing what it's like to feel sort of stinky at the end of a day for months and months, and that's okay too, because when I go into a room and pray with somebody now, I say, thank you, Lord, for letting me experience what they feel. And not half as bad as so many other people. But again, love. Out of good, out of bad, I mean, Jesus brings good. And it was a beautiful experience because I met the most holy people. I met those Haitians and all those people from Harlem in the middle of the night who come and give you a little pat on the head and even sometimes a hug. I was very hugged in there. And I'd love it. The Jewish hospital. And here I am, an Irish Catholic. By the way, the rabbi used to come in and say, you want communion, until I finally convinced him that my name was Dorothy. And it wasn't whatever. And he was a wonderful man. We became great friends. So all in all, you have cancer, and you're going to live 7 months. Well, it's a year. And, Lord, I thank you, because I'm going to go trucking on for you.
No doubt about it. I just want to mention one other thing. I had mentioned that I had prayed for no pain, and I had prayed for a quick recovery. Well, I was back to work in 3 weeks. And I really, I have to say, in all honesty, after the operation, from the moment I woke up, I had no pain.
Isn't that amazing? That's a miracle.
Jesus so good?
Amen.
You know, I just learned to just put everything in his hands.
In his hands, yeah.
Well, you know, I had the same kind of experience, but I didn't have cancer. My wife did.
That's right.
She had brain cancer.
Right.
And for me to be able to just, from a caretaker's point of view, because you people had the disease,
right.
But I'm the caretaker. And, you know, many times they lose caretakers and the patient survives because you just do and do and do because you love the person who's so ill. And I could see my wife going downhill, but I could hear inside of me, she's going to be healed. Going to be healed. Wow, okay, she's going to be healed. Mm-hmm. And then she died. And I said, Lord, you told me she was going to be healed. And he said, she's healed my way. And all throughout that experience, you talk about people coming in and giving you a hug and making you feel loved. I could feel the power of God inside of me, helping me to make it through each day.
Right, yep, he does.
Because I had to get her up, I had a shower, I had to feed her, and that went on for a year and a half.
Right.
And I slept on an airbed right next to where she was on the hospital bed. And each night when we prayed, you know, I have a word gift, and all the years I've had this word gift, Roseanne didn't really want to hit them.
Yeah.
But each night I would have these beautiful words in prayer. And she said, John, it's beautiful, that's beautiful. Where are they coming from? I said, honey, I've been getting this for years. Mm-hmm. And I would give them to her in the past, and she wanted to correct the spelling and that listen for the word. And then, just to finish up from a caretaker's perspective, how God intervened, Roseanne was in the hospice, and we were saying a Hail Mary. And it ended now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Well, that's exactly when she died.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And a few seconds later, I heard her voice say in exactly the same way that she would say after our prayers at night, John, it's beautiful here.
Uh-huh.
It's beautiful here. Mm. Almost like, wow, God has been with us through all of this.
Yes, he never leaves us.
Yeah, it really is.
Never leaves us, no.
Nobody would believe it unless they experience it. Now, we've experienced, I'm sure if I spoke to Trevor, he's had the same kinds of experiences in his life. He's shaking his head, yes, yeah, mm-hmm. he does.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't care about your religion. He loves you,
mm-hmm.
loves each mm-hmm. of us in his own way, and he just knows how to get into us and mm-hmm. give us his Christmas gift every day we live. Isn't that what you guys experience?
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. And I think that I experienced more love in that, and I say interdenominational, because, you know, we're all in our own little world. And then all of a sudden, I was put in this wonderful Hebrew world. And all the people there, I mean, there were so many holy Jewish people, but integrated with those black people and the Haitian people and the nurses, and they were every denomination. And they have a thing in there at that hospital. We are a family. And I left there a better person than I ever was before. I left broader, happier, and closer to the world, because there's a little bit of this and a little bit of that, but it all culminated in one word in that happy family. They all loved me, and I loved them, and we did nothing but hug and hug and hug. Really, it was almost fun. I missed them.
And isn't
when I went
love
home.
The best medicine
it's
that you can get?
It's the medicine, Tony. Isn't it? It is the medicine.
And some of those people that you're talking about, I might suspect that some of them are angels sent by God to watch over you.
I believe that, especially the mommy who came in, and she was a heavy lady, and she was adorable. And I used to say to her every night, how are you doing? I'm doing fine. I'd say, how old are the kids? Well, and she'd name them 6, 5, 4. This is the truth. 3, 2, and 6 months. And my mama's home and taking care of them. And I loved her to death, and she'd come and hug me, and I'd hug her. And she'd say, now you need a little sleep. And she'd pat me on the bed. We'd say a little prayer, and I'd turn over. With that kind of love, I snored away.
With love and prayers.
Amen.
Amen. That's what does it. Can I just mention my brother?
Sure.
Who Thanksgiving was put into the hospital, and they couldn't find out what was wrong with him. And he's probably listening today, too. And I'm going to go see him right after the show, by the way. So get the coffee ready, bro. He was put into the hospital. He had fever, 104 fever for 5 days. He didn't go to the doctor. He went to the doctor, and he put him in the hospital immediately. He couldn't figure out what was wrong with him.
Right.
It wound up being, we think it was his gallbladder, had a blockage, and it built up with bowel. But at one point, 70% of his body was dead. And at one night, I thought he wasn't going to make it. And we prayed and prayed and prayed so heavy. And Joan was there, my wife, and we were praying and just praying. And I thought he was going to see Jesus personally here.
Yeah.
And the next morning, the doctor came in and said, we're going to try something. And so they tried tapping the gallbladder to get an all bowel blockage came out.
Hmm.
And little by little, I think that saved his life.
Yes,
and I
sure.
think that sure. doctor must have gotten an inspirational something or other message to go to his gallbladder. And although he's out of the hospital, he's still very weak. But when he went back to the doctor said, 70% of your body was shutting down, and we thought we were going to lose you that night.
What a beautiful story.
And
thank God. And he's okay. He's okay.
He's weak, but he's... Come there, he went down to 140 pounds while he was in the hospital from 180, but he's getting there. And those prayers
sure.
were so powerful.
And I think, you know, in visiting the sick, I don't think any of us can ever realize until we're sick ourselves how important it is for us to visit the sick, pray with them, give them hope. That's a word I said to John the other day about this broadcast. It's Christmas. That infant is the hope. That love is the hope. And when you walk into a room and you see someone there all alone, so many people without any family, friends praying for them, and you come in there and take their hand and say, do you want to pray? It means more to them than we'll ever know. So if you are listening listeners who are prayers, sick visitors, if you only knew how much it means how God has blessed you. You have a gift of healing. Everybody has the gift of healing if we trust that it's God's healing through you. So go visit the sick. Go pray with them. Hold their hand. I experienced that, and I came out so much better a person, so much more understanding. Now I know if I could, I'd be there all the time. So that's just my little Christmas wish for everybody. Hey,
Don't you have a ministry?
I was just
Prayers on Wheels.
Yes.
Prayers.
And you've spent your life going to pray over people that are sick?
I started to pray over people when I was 7 years old. My father took my little hand. He was medical director of a TB hospital. And once I was seven, for some reason, he took me around on Saturday, and we made rounds. And he took my little hand, I remember it, and would put it on their lung. And he'd say, "Now, Mrs. Ginsburg, you're going to be fine." And, of course, the x-ray's on the wall, and it looks awful, but that's okay. He gave them hope, and he prayed with them. And later on, here he had a 250-bed hospital, and there were hundreds of people in these sanatoriums all over the country. And there was a census taken. His was the highest healing percent in the United States.
Wow.
Because he prayed over his patients.
You know, you came into my home with your prayers on wheels when Roseanne was sick. And Tony, there were so many people who came. It must have been a dozen people. They surrounded the hospital bed, and they prayed over Roseanne. And it was wonderful. It was uplifting for her. But I don't know if I've told you this. You prayed over my stepson, John, and over me. And both of us felt the warmth and the power of the love of God inside of us. It's just totally unbelievable. So those people who are seriously ill this Christmas, even some who have a death sentence, 3 months, 2 days, whatever it may be, know that Jesus and his mother, Mary, God the Father, Holy Spirit, is right there with you, even if you don't believe it. And he'll help you. There are no atheists in hospital beds people have a death sentence.
And I think Roseanne that day, Tony, I remember looking at her. I think she was very sick, John.
Oh, I know.
But she really loved it. All the girls, hugs, you know, they're warm. These women are fabulous. It's such an easy ministry. You get in the car and you go and you pray. And you get out of the car and you hug them and kiss them and pray. We had a conversion through that a couple of years ago. On a Tuesday, we went to pray with a girl who had terminal lung cancer. She was a teacher. She was 30. And her mother-in-law-to-be had asked us to go. So we went, and she was sort of cold, and we thought, oh, boy. So we said the rosary, and we left. Do you know the last part of the rosary? She joined in, and she said a couple of prayers with us. Well, Thursday of that week, she went down to her parish, came back to the church, received the sacraments. That little visit.
Wow.
So, it works.
It's the power and of God's love. And, you know, even if you have somebody ill right next to you, put your hand on them. Pray with them, even if you don't know how to pray. And even if you're mad at God because of the illness that person has, just say, be honest with Jesus or the Father or the Spirit, whoever you're praying to. Just say, you know, I don't like what's going on here one bit, but I know you're here in our midst. And would you please help me and the person that's here who's so ill? Give them a Christmas gift. Be Saint Nicholas for them. You like the way I snuck that
in? I like the way you bring that
Trevor,
in.
Trevor, we're going on to cut three, hopefully.
Well, as we advertised, today's the day, Christmas Eve. During Advent, we spoke about the archangels and led up to today's Christmas Eve and, of course, Saint Nicholas. Now, you know who St. Nicholas was, right, Dr. Palmer?
It's Santa Claus.
Santa Claus.
Santa Claus. He's my best friend.
So the true story of Santa Claus begins with St. Nicholas, who is truly Santa Claus. Everyone knows and loves him, and hopefully the children also have learned about St. Nicholas being Santa Claus. He was a kindly Christian saint, and he was a bishop. He became a roly-poly, red-suited American symbol for celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Children throughout the world await his arrival, for tonight is the time he will be visiting each and every one of you children out there. And he'll be checking. You know, he checks if good or bad.
Make
and so he'll be checking.
This.
And so children throughout the world are awaiting his arrival with bated breath. But Santa Claus goes further. He's the love that God has for all his children. And he shows that love to St. Nicholas. Before we talk about his life, we should mention that in Europe, St. Nicholas was popular and people began to leave, as we do here in the United States, food, goodies, nuts, apples, sweets, and his shoes. And with the hope that St. Nicholas would replace them with kindness, with gifts. And so this tradition was brought into New York, a new world in America by the colonists. And it continues today. And so God continues to shed his love upon everybody by true St. Nicholas, true Santa Claus. But let's mention that Santa Claus needs a lot of helpers. He has his elves and he has his reindeer, but he needs us out there to spread the love of Jesus and to spread the gifts. And so people like the United States Marines give gifts to children.
Toys
for Tots. And also, for example, we know, for instance, this Christmas, the youth at one of the parishes is going to visit the Sisters of the Poor and give out gifts to the elderly. And so this God's love with the gifts is spread throughout the world. And so God uses each and every one of us to spread that love through gifts. But let's talk a little bit about St. Nicholas. St. Nicholas was born to a rich family. Unfortunately, his parents died when he was very young, and he was raised by his uncle. He always aspired to go into religious life, and he did. He became a brother. And so as he became a brother, he moved on quickly, and he became a deacon, and he became a parish priest, and he became a bishop. And through his ministry as a bishop, he just spread his love for people, his love for children. And he gave gifts, and he saw, when he heard that someone didn't have something, he brought gifts and brought to them. He sent gifts. He left bags of gold, because he was rather rich. He left bags of gold on the footsteps, on the stairs of people that didn't have anything. He sent presents down through the chimneys. He just spread his love and his joy and his gifts. And so as he did that, his name got popular, and he got very popular in the vicinity as a gift-giving clergy. And so, however, the Roman Empire cracked down on all the religious and put them all in prison. All the priests, all the bishops, all the brothers. He put so many in prison, there was no room for the criminals. And so we had them all locked up in prison. And he was the Roman Empire, and he was ruthless. And after Nicholas was released, he attended a council in the year 325, but he died. He died on December the 6th in the year 343. And that's the day, December the 6th, when we celebrate St. Nicholas, 2 weeks before Christmas. And when he was buried, there was a unique relic that formed in his grave, and that was manna. Liquid manna formed in his grave. And I don't believe too many people knew about that. And then this liquid substance had healing powers. And the people that went there that touched it, they were ill, they were immediately healed. And then he started appearing to children. When children were in trouble, he appeared to them. When children were about to be murdered, he appeared and he saved their lives. And he showed his love for children. So much so that God rewarded him with the title Santa Claus. Now that Santa Claus, that name Santa Claus came about because little children couldn't say, when they were trying to say St. Nicholas or St. Nicholas, they would say Santa Claus. And that's how that name came about. And so today it is obvious that God rewarded St. Nicholas for his love of children and love and his love to give gifts and his love for allowing children to give him treats and to visit them. And his reward was so that he allowed St. Nicholas to visit the children, good or bad. If they're good, they're rewarded with gifts. If they're bad, well, we'll see what happens. But his main concern in giving those gifts is so that the children would know that it's not the gifts that they're getting, but the reason for what he does is to pay homage and tribute to our Lord, the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. And so Jesus is the celebration. Christmas is the celebration of the birth of Jesus. And these gifts that Santa Claus gives and all the people that work for Santa Claus give to each and every one of us is just a gift of joy, knowing that Jesus, our Savior, was born.
That's an amen.
Thank you. Hey, Trevor, we're going to put on cut four because it's funny how this was planned. Think of God's love. Louder, I think. Are you ready?
I just got back from a lovely trip along the Milky Way. I stopped off at the North Pole to spend a holiday. I called on dear old Santa Claus to see what I could see. He took me in his workshop and told his plans to me. So you better watch out, better not cry, better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Getting ready now.
God's love.
He's making a list and checking it twice. Gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping.
He sees you.
Knows when you're awake.
He knows.
He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. Oh, you better watch out, better not cry, better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
With little tin horns and little toy drums, Rudy Hoot Toots and Robbie Gum Tums. Santa Claus is coming.
Kids in girl and boy land will have a jubilee. They're gonna build a toyland town all around the Christmas tree. So you better watch out, you better not cry, better not pout, I'm telling you why. The big jolly man in the bright red suit, with his sleigh all full of loot, Santa Claus is coming to town.
You know, Tony, in light of what you just read, and that was wonderful what you read about St. Nicholas, doesn't Santa Claus coming to town take on a whole different meaning? Because you're talking about God's love coming into everybody at Christmas.
Absolutely.
You know?
And the reason for the season is to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you know, St. Nicholas was given a great chore by our Heavenly Father to help his children and to give gifts and to celebrate.
And the three of us are sitting here, and Trevor's in the other room at the control panel. We are all experiencing God's gift right now. We have his gift of life in us, his gift of life and his gift of love. You know, over at St. Paul's Cathedral, the Greek Orthodox Church, they have an icon of St. Nicholas that oozed oil, a couple of years ago. And even if you look closely at it, down at the base of the eye, you can see little specks where the oil was. It really was something. And I've been told, and I don't know if I have this 100% correct, but at the same time, in Greece, an icon of St. Nicholas also oozed oil.
In Greece?
In Greece. Part of the world. Yeah. Same thing. Isn't it? You know, it's only, God gives these signs all over the place that we just kind of say, oh, yeah, sure, that's God, right? Yeah. It is. Yeah. It's not, oh, yeah, it's sure. God. It is God.
It's his wake-up call lots of times.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you know, and he heals all the time. You know, Marita, I know in your healing ministry, you in praying for people, you've seen some phenomenal things. Maybe you can just relate one story about a person who was really healed significantly at a healing mass.
At the ancestral healing mass.
Sure.
I don't think Tony's heard this story. This is the most beautiful story of God doing this, you know, without prodding and pushing. And this little girl, she's from the Philippines, a young mother. Her name was Zen. She had gone to one prayer meeting, and that wasn't the start of this. She just followed along with this group. We were having a healing mass of ancestry, which is a powerful mass. It came out of Our Lady of La Salette, the monastery up in Massachusetts. And a priest wrote this liturgy so that people who brought down addictions and alcoholism and drug addictions into their families and on, this could be prayed for through a healing mass. And it's an average, it's a normal liturgy, but that at the end of the mass, there are prayers for the ancestors. You could be great-great-grandparents or mental disease. Those are common things, alcoholism and drug addiction and stuff like that. One night, with a healing mass, that we have a little Father Gus, an Indian priest who's an angel of a man, and he was celebrating this mass, and we all had booklets. So after the mass was over, Father was laying hands on people and praying for them, and this young mother came up, and I say young, she has 18-year-old twins, but she came up and we were praying with her, and she broke down and started to cry. And the average crying, you know, and then they would walk off after their average little tear. But this girl was crying so deeply that we knew Father wouldn't have the time to spend with her. So we asked her to come with us, and we took her to the middle of the church and started to pray with her. But it was a deep inner need, and it was coming and coming and coming. So I had my arms around her, and I finally said, Zen, do you want to say what it is? And she said, I never felt love. My mother never loved me. And I was never loved, so I don't feel love. So we continued to pray, and finally, my mother instinct, my woman instinct, I just laid her in my arms and rocked her like a baby. And I rocked her and I rocked her, and she continued to cry. And then she began to talk a little bit about her background and her mother's love and all that. Well, that was just the beginning. God had opened a door. The next day she called and she said, she went home and she has twin boys. They're now 18. This was a year ago, September. And she said, they said at breakfast, Mom, you're different. Why are you different? The breakfast was better. I hated to cook, she told me. I hated to cook. Well, that next night, she made a wonderful dinner. Kids said, Mom, what's happened to you? She said, I can cook. I'm beginning to cook. Well, this went on for a year, since a year last September, and every once in a while the phone rings, and it's Zen. Let me tell you what happened. I felt fear, and then I felt anger. God opened up this girl's emotional life. She never felt any emotion. But the important key of this whole thing is God healed three generations, Tony. Her mother and she had a reconciliation after that mass, loved and began to love as mother and daughter. Her mother's mother, the grandmother, the mother and the grandmother were reconciled. So now we have three generations, the daughter, her mother, and her mother's mother, who's Zen's grandmother. They were all reconciled. But she's growing all the time, and the phone's ringing, and she's telling me of this amazing spiritual growth that she is having, and she brings the boys to everything. Now, would you think two 18-year-old twins would like a teaching on centering prayer? Well, two weeks ago, they appear, and I sent them the pamphlets on all of it. So the word today is hope, too. It's love, but it's hope. Here's somebody, God picked her. We didn't do anything. The Eucharist did it. The liturgy did it. But God's love did it. Here is this new creation who has emotions that she never knew she had before.
Praise Jesus.
That is a beautiful story, is it
not? It absolutely is. Praise Jesus.
Praise the Lord for that.
And you know, isn't that what the show is about today, the program is about?
Right.
Hope. Hope. It's Christmas.
Right.
You may not even believe it, but I'll tell the listeners this. Somehow, during the rest of today, during Christmas Eve and tomorrow, you're going to be touched by God.
Amen.
I don't know how, and I don't know in what way, but you're going to receive a touch of his love and his hope that in some way you will never be able to deny that it came from God, and it will change your life.
And if Palmer said that, you can take it to the bank.
Well, just don't take it to my bank. You know.
And by the way, when you're touched, let us know. Send us an email. Listen up at AOL.com. LISTENUP at AOL.com. We want to know. We want to know when you're touched.
And you can also call my office phone, 516-627-1109. 516-627-1109. I am not looking for new business. I am on overload already. But if you have had something happen, but just by listening to the show today, call us. Let us know so we can share the gift of love and hope that you've gotten with others. We started the show talking about people who were given death sentences. Lung cancer, ovarian cancer, brain cancer, cancer, whatever. You know, I'm sure that there are listeners out there right now who have that whole thing going on, that whole death sentence going on. Why don't we just stop for a few minutes, Marita, with your gift of healing, and Tony, with your gift of healing. Let's pray for those people.
And John, you know, after laying in the hospital and learning so much and experiencing so much, I say to my fellow little sick patients, take some time during the day. Suppose you're laying flat on your back and you're in the hospital, and just think of Jesus living in you. Take a little trip down into the center of your being. Take deep breaths and spend time with God that way. You know, Jesus said in Scripture, go close your door and go into that little room. We've got to remember that God lives within us. So when you're sick, it's a wonderful time to go there and be still. Listen to God. We talk so much. Listen to all of us. But this is a time when you're sick in the hospital, you're sick at home, or you're even depressed. You're deeply depressed. Go into that little room and close your door. Go down into the center of your being. Find God there. Just ask him, Jesus, have mercy on me today. I need you. and he'll answer you. As John just said, he'll come. He'll be there.
And we pray now for every listener who's been given a death sentence by their doctors.
Yes, Lord.
And we just ask, Lord, Lord, heal those people your way, we know. And if it's your will, Lord, take the death sentence away. Commute that sentence. Give them hope, Lord. Give them new life, Lord. Touch them now. Touch them now. And inside of me, I can feel the power of God's love just passing out over these airwaves into your earwaves. And he's touching your heart right now saying, come on, lighten up. You have today, don't you? Make it the best you can. Don't give me a sob story. I'm here with you. I'll wipe away those tears. Let me lift you up. It's Christmas. It's Christmas. I want you to be filled with my love. I don't care what religion you are. I don't care anything about you, any of your differences of any of our listeners. All I care about is that you open your heart to my love and you say, come on in, Jesus. It's Christmas. I have cancer. I've been told I've got 3 weeks to live. Let me tell you this. Nobody knows how long you have to live but me. Can any of you add one moment to your life by just saying, I'll do this and I'll take that pill? No. I'm the giver of life. And today, I give you my gift of life and I give you my gift of love with such power and such force that it will last all the way through the new year.
Amen.
All I ask of each of you, like Marita said, open your heart one day at a time. You addicts who are listening and you want to go and take a fix because you feel bad and you want to have a pity party. Instead of having your pity party, sit down. Get quiet. Turn to me. Whether you call me a higher power or Jesus or Jehovah, whatever you call me, turn to me. I'll touch you. I'll get you past these moments when the cravings are so high. I'll take you into my own world of love. I live in the fourth dimension of love, beyond time, beyond space, and beyond matter, and I invite you to cross over to my world now. Now, that's where I am. I'm not, I was, I'm not, I will be, I am. I'm timeless love, and this is Christmas, and that's the best time of year for my timeless love to flow freely in you. Let me tell you something else. Today is Easter Sunday. Oh, what do you mean by that? It means I'm resurrected and dwelling in you. Today's Pentecost. Whoa, what do you mean by that? It means my Holy Spirit is in you with the power of love that just can change your world. You're all there, my friends. All you have to do is say, come in, Lord. Come in, Lord. And I will wish you a Merry Christmas in such a way that you will never, ever be the same.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
And to those who are depressed, I want to take you on a little journey into Bethlehem. I want you to walk into the stable. It's light. It's alive. There's a beautiful lady there. And Joseph, I want you to let Mary give you the infant. Place Jesus in your arms. Your depression's gone because he's the light of the world. He's the hope of the world. He's the love of the world. This Christmas Eve, my brothers and sisters in Christ, hold a baby. Hold him close to your heart. Let him heal you. The depression will go, because only with hope, Jesus lives. Only with joy he lives. Only with love he gives.
Faithful friends who are dear to us, gather near to us once more. Through the years we all will be together, if the fates allow. Hang a shining star
Merry Christmas, everyone, and thank you, thank you, thank you.
Make the Yuletide.